Well, good morning, good evening, good afternoon. How you doing? This is Pete Cooper with American Christian. I'm part of the Father Ministries, founded by Dr. David Nichols, and he is on assignment elsewhere. So I'm going to be speaking to you today. This morning, we're going to talk about victorious living. Living in victory. Are there some secrets? And I'm not saying like, oh, you know what, if you squirrel up with this book right here and, pry apart the parchment and take a look deep into the... No, I'm not talking secrets that way. I'm just talking about opening up the Word of God. And there are gems that are available to us as believers to get us into the place of victorious living. We are to be living in victory. Amen? There is a liberty, Paul says, that when we come into Christ, that we aren't walking around in this pitiful state of weeping and crying and looking back on our past and evaluating all the wrong things that we did. And, you know, I'm not saying that you shouldn't go about and to right some wrongs if you're a new believer, okay? But look, if you've been in the saddle of living in the Christian lifestyle for a number of years, it's time for your joy to get put on you. Amen? So, if you want to turn with me to Galatians chapter 5, that'd be a good place to start. Again, get you a hard copy of the Word of God. If you don't have it, that's great. If your hands are on the wheel, just listen. If you're tooling right now, just listen. If you're sitting out on the deck, just listen. It's fine. You know, it's an honor to be able to come and to talk about God's Word and to get into position. You know, I'll tell you, last night I was watching Rodney Howard Brown. I don't know what night it was. They're doing their fire conference right now for, I think it's for leadership anyway. But anyway, you know, it was just, it's good. It's good to get into the place where God wants you moving forward. You know, that we all have a calling on our life. Yes, we all have a calling on our life. Where none of us are to come to Jesus and then, you know, not participate in actively pursuing the things that Christ had for us. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. The fruit of the Spirit, works of the flesh. We're going to talk about sowing to the Spirit. We're going to talk a little bit about, you know, the kingdom of God. This is another thing, like the kingdom. And you've heard Dr. Nichols refer many times to the kingdom, the reign in the realm, the reign and the mystery of the kingdom of God. You've heard him talk about that, where the mystery is this, is that the reign is present without the realm. The reign is the power and the authority that we have been given as believers, but we don't have the realm, not yet. And the realm is the things that come along with it, you know, shields and swords and such. That's the realm, battle tanks. And, you know, if you were to look at today's military, the realm of that the United States has, this realm that we have firepower. We have somewhat of a reign over the rest of the world, is that we have this power and authority that we can go into other countries, and through diplomacy, we can slow things down, speed things up. But in the kingdom of God, we have been given an awesome access to be able to partake in the reign, which is the power and authority that Christ has given to us through his blood, through the resurrection of Jesus. He's bestowed us with this ability, really, to walk this out in the world that we're living in today, even right now. Amen? I want to talk a little bit about godliness. What is godliness, and what is it good for, right? Absolutely everything. Godliness is a reverence, having a reverence towards God. It's thinking of God and His ways as being higher than all other ways, and taking the time to realize that, put it into perspective, and to walk that out. Godliness is a very important thing. Contentment, right? We know about contentment and godliness. So what else do we want to maybe take a look at? You know, I think a lot of this really, you know, just to tell you, and maybe you already know this, and maybe you're already starting to feel it too, is that we're really moving in this crazy direction right now. As a nation, we're moving in a direction. The church is obviously moving in a direction. And then the devil's is obviously moving in a direction. So I would think that, you know, over the last, I don't know, couple of months or whatever, I suppose, I would say, you know, things that have grabbed a hold of my attention right now. I know I told you, hey, let's go into Galatians. But in 1 Timothy, this is where things start to get real for the believer, right? And the joy of the Lord is your strength, and, you know, we are to be victorious. I'm talking about victorious living today. And 1 Timothy 4 says this, now the Spirit of God, capital S, Spirit, the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, verse 2, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it's received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. You know, and part of me is just kind of like, man, you know, growing up, I think about all the allergies, and I think about all these, you know, the whole gluten thing, and it's moved into markets. People have jumped on board. People have believed and are believing and continue to believe that eating certain things becomes a curse to their body, or, you know, their body isn't responding correctly. Well, I would say you need to have a talk with your body. I'm not saying that allergies aren't real, but I would tell you this, is that I know people that have rebuked allergies and have moved forward from that place, living in the, what we started with, the liberty, right? So anyway, what I'm getting at is that is like we're coming into a place, either you're going to get left behind in this or you're not. Either you're going to move forward in Christ or you're not, because according to what Paul is writing to Timothy, he says, look, in the latter times, we're in the latter times. You know, this was written back in, I don't know, 60, 70, 80-ish, right around in there. We've come through quite a few mile markers here in stating that, hey, you know, in latter times, we're in it. If this isn't latter times, I don't know what Paul might have been talking about. And probably really, maybe even in his own lifetime. I don't know. But look, the word of God is saying that in latter times that some will depart from the faith, giving into deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. And I don't want to be a part of that. And I don't think you want to be a part of that. And can you lose your salvation? What's the problem here, right? When we start to look at the word and we start to see that, wow, you mean you can actually, people can start drifting away? I think that you know that they can. I think that you've seen people drifting away, that they've given in to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, right? I mean, the Bible's been talking about latter times. It's not just in this place in Timothy, but it's also found in Ezekiel. It's found in Numbers and Deuteronomy and Jeremiah and Daniel and Job and Hosea, 1 Peter, Hebrews, Acts, last times, end times, latter times. You know, it's an end time expression, and we're there. So what do we have to do? Because we need to stay in the game. You know, you need to wake up and you need to tell yourself, look, self, we need to stay in the game today. Don't get caught up. Don't start moving down roads that you have no business moving down. Roads that talk about defeat, or you're never going to make it, or it's too hard, or roads that say you'll never amount to anything. This is a dead-end job. You're never going to go anywhere. Look, that kind of defeated talking is not gonna help you. There are things that are trying to pull you off the main road to of Christianity. They're trying to pull you away from the resurrection. They're trying to pull you away from the anointing. They're trying to pull you away from godliness. Trying to pull you away. We'll talk a little bit more about that when we get into, you know, sowing, and we start to talk about the things of the spirit and the things of the flesh. Amen? All right. So, some are going to depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. This is happening now. It was happening then, and it's happening now. Well, these are things that happened back then, but that's not occurring today. You know that that's happening today. And we know that things have been uncovered through the news media, things that have been uncovered through prophecies, things that have been uncovered by the Word, things that are being uncovered, right? As godly men and women start to walk and start to communicate with the rest of the world, hey, this is what's going on. This is what's happening. Amen? Okay, so and that's part of really what sin wants to do, right? To get us to depart from, or to refrain from, or to withdraw from. No man can depart from something if he's not part of it to begin with. So if you don't have faith, it's hard for you to depart from faith. But if you have faith, you can depart from it. Just by not being in the Word, not going to church anymore, thinking that you have some other kind of doctrine. I can't tell you how many times I've heard men tell me that, well, you know, my way of being at church, you know, is out when I'm out in the boat, man. And it's just me and God and nature. Well, guess what? Not written in the Word. That is a doctrine of a demon. Or you're out bow hunting. Or you're out duck hunting, and you're out with nature, the place where, you know, God's really created this place for us to live and to be in. And, you know, I just feel closest to Him. That's not where Jesus felt closest to Him. So how do you feel closest to Him when God's Son, Jesus, felt closest to Him when He was in prayer, when He was separated Himself and unto God? You know that it's a distraction for you to be absent from coming together on Sundays. You know that it's not right that we start our day without the Word, or we end the day without the Word, that we're in a place where we never speak about it except for on Sundays. We have to be able to press further in with the Word of God so that we can stay, so that we don't fall away, so that we're not going to end up in this latter time that Paul is telling Timothy, look, people are going to depart from the faith. That means you, that means me. We can depart from it. So, seducing spirits. It says, giving heed to seducing spirits. What is a seducing spirit? What exactly is that? To deceive, right? A seducing spirits. It means to lead astray, or to pull you into some type of evil, especially to entice you to surrender your chastity. Think about that. They're charged with carrying out the program of enticement to entice you so that you forfeit your virtue, so that you surrender your chastity. It's like the same thing as forbidding to marry. Look, you shouldn't get, hey, don't get married right away. You should live with people. Find out their likes and dislikes before you decide that you're going to spend the rest of your life with them, before you're going to have kids with them. You need to do that. That is a seducing spirit, and that is a doctrine of a demon. These are things that are written in textbooks, for Pete's sake. You know, man, I could just go get sidetracked right now on some things that I read last night, but I'm not. I'm gonna save you, because I need to try to stay linear in my thought process. It's something that I want to start to, you know, bring under control. I'm very shotgunny in my approach, and my attention can go from one topic to another, right? But giving heed to seducing spirits. Things that would lead you into pornography, things that would lead you into drinking, things that will lead you into not doing what is right, cheating, lying, stealing, these kinds of things. You know, it's a small white lie. It's a this, it's a that. It's a way to justify something smaller to make allowance for something bigger. Does that make sense? Okay. Giving heed to doctrines of devils. Urge to depart from the faith. Look, you see how these people are treating you here, man? You see how they speak to you? Like when you come here, you see how they are? You should find somewhere else to go. And so, you know, you're kind of buying into the lie, so you find somewhere else to go. And the same line comes back, telling you, hey, look how you're being treated here. Look at how these people are talking to you, blah, 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 blah. And then you move into the next place. So you leave there and you keep leaving, and then there's nothing left. And now you're living in a region. I've already been to all these churches, and now what am I supposed to do? Now I see I can't even go anywhere. I can't do anything. That you have just departed from the faith, really. You're departing away from the gathering together. You're departing away. You're thinking that you can live your life without other people and just stick to the things that you're reading in the Word. You know, I'm in the Bible every day. You know, I just don't like to be around people. Well, sorry, not in the Word. That's not part of the deal. You have to learn to temper yourself. You have to learn to walk in the Spirit. We're going to talk about that. All right, so I'm just kind of setting up this ground right now, right? Giving heed to doctrines of devils, right? Resulting in the departure from holy living. Acceptance of doctrines that will damn your soul. Men who pretend that they have special revelation and insight, right, outside of the Word of God, or false teachers. These are all agents of demons. This is what's been laid against you to come against you. Things that will damn your soul. Things that, like the doctrine that there is no such thing as hell. That's a doctrine of a demon. That's not in the Word of God. The Word of God says that there is a hell. So this is where, you know, I want to bring you into that place to encourage you that, look, you need to move forward. Things that can damn your soul, right? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry. These are the works of the flesh. If we take you back out of Timothy and let's go back into Galatians 5, and let's look at 5:17. 5:16 says, "Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Verse 17, "For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish." Let me say that again. They're contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Sin wants to get in the way. Sorcery. Let me just talk about sorcery for a second. A nice little white lie that comes in with sorcery about good magic and bad magic, you know, good versus evil. Well, is it really good if it's white magic? Is that really good? Or is that something that's giving way to a seducing spirit, saying that I'm good, I do good magic, and this guy's bad because he does bad magic? It's sorcery. It's moving into a place where you're manipulating people. So maybe we can unpack that a little bit. So in the Greek, we have this word called pharmakia. And I know it's a big buzzword now. And if you've been paying attention to anything over the last 2 years as a Christian, you've probably heard this word, pharmakia, which is sorcery, witchcraft, practicing, dealing with evil spirits, magical incantations, casting spells and charms. Drugs, potions of various kinds. Enchantments were used to inflict evil, to inflict pain, to bring forth hatred or sufferings and death. That's witchcraft. Now we've kind of come out of this. I don't even know. How old do you think Harry Potter is right now? The books and the movies and all of that went around with it. You've got Harry Potter World, whatever that, you know what I mean? It's at Universal Studios, right? You have this place. You can buy magic wands. And I know, okay, they're not magic wands. It's just a stick that looks like a magic. You can call it what you want. You just go right ahead and do that. You go ahead and play with that. Put on the robes and wear the costumes and play it out. But I'll tell you something that you're not doing. You're not playing out the suffering of Christ. You're not playing out the whipping post. You're not playing out hanging on a cross. Why aren't you doing those kinds of things? Because there's power in that. There's no power in witchcraft. There's manipulation. There's dark side things, but really, we're talking about the power and authority in of the blood of Jesus. But people, you don't see people acting those kinds of things out. You know, Jesus world, right? And people are paying whatever a ticket runs for to go to Harry Potter world or to Universal. There's not a ticket to go to Jesus world, right? We are being enticed by these things. They bring on an enticement because they play to the flesh, and the flesh is something that we have to learn how to crucify, is really where I'm kind of beginning here. Getting to the place of crucifying the flesh with its lusts and its afflictions. Crucifying the flesh with its passions and desires is what it says in the New King James, verse 24, 5:24. And those who are Christ's, And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. What kind of passions and desires come along with sorcery? What kind of passions and desires come along with idolatry? What kind of passions and desires come along with fornication? How many people you know going to church, they live together. They're a boyfriend and girlfriend and have been for 10 years. And, well, they're pretty much common law now. You know, there's a law out there called common law. Common law, you know, kind of treats you just like if you were husband and wife. What's the big point? Why do you got to get a piece of paper? Blah, 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 right? Well, then you don't understand some things. You don't understand covenant. You don't understand the things that have been written in the Word. And so you're just walking around it. Don't do that. You know, we're only halfway through the list of, you know, what about hatred? You ever think about what the passions and desires of hatred can lead to? We see it Just by turning on the TV, we can see hatred. It's enmity. It's ill will against somebody. It's bitterness. It's dislike. It's a tendency to hold a grudge or to be angry at somebody. That's hatred. Hatred does that. Hatred is unforgiveness. Man, I hate that guy. Blah, 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 whatever. We throw the word around. But really, what's its passion and its desire? Why does that feed us to a certain degree? That's interesting. We're supposed to crucify that very feeling. That's part of the flesh. Crucify it. Lay it down. Amen? The next thing that we see after hatred is contention. Having contention towards somebody. Thinking about dissension or discord, quarreling, debating, disputes. Always in an argument about certain things. That's being contentious. That guy is so contentious. Everything I say, you got to argue it. Every time I mention something, you got to say something against it. Contentions. There's a desire in it. There's a desire in it. And there's a passion that's tied to it. And you need to crucify that. What's next on the list? How about jealousies? Being jealous. Being envious. Striving to be better at the expense of another person. Seeking to surpass and to outdo others. It's uncurbed rivalry. Business and society. We're around it, you know, a lot. Think about guys that are trying to climb corporate ladders, trying to be the number one top dog in the office, whatever it might be for you. You know, it will not end well for you. Don't do it. Don't be in pursuit of these kinds of things, right? There's a passion and there's a desire that you may or may not understand. And just because you don't understand it doesn't mean that it's not there. Amen? Verse 20 talks about outbursts of wrath. It also talks about selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresy. Verse 21, envy, murders, drunkenness, rivalries, and the like. These are all things that are starting to come against us that we need to curb. We need to stop it. And the reason that we really need to stop this is at the end of 21, it says this. It says, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And that right there, if you cannot inherit the kingdom of God, you are not going to inherit victorious living. And you're not going to be able to walk out laying hands on the sick. That's part of the kingdom of God, and they will recover. That's part of the kingdom of God, casting out demons. That's part of the kingdom of God. Those who practice these things in the flesh, by not walking in the Spirit, you don't get to inherit the kingdom of God. I want that. I want you to want that. I want you to inherit the kingdom of God. So that means that we have to crucify the things of the flesh. Now tomorrow we'll move into the fruit of the Spirit, because walking in the fruit and walking in the Spirit gives us the power to get rid of sin before sin gets rid of us. Amen? Father, I thank you for giving us instruction on how to live victoriously. And we do that by crucifying, first of all, by crucifying our flesh. To crucify these ideas, Lord, that have really been put out into our society that say, look, you know, there is no God, there is no hell, live however you want. But Lord, we know what your word says. And Father, I just ask, in the name of Jesus, I ask you, Lord, that you would make these things known to each listener and to their families. Lord, that you would reveal yourself in such a way and with such power, Lord, that they would fully know and understand that you are in pursuit of them, that you want them, Lord, to live victoriously in the here and now, right now, not after, Lord, we pass from this life into the next, but that victorious living and to stand fast in liberty, Lord, is something that we can have today because it's the gospel. It is the death and resurrection of your Son, Jesus, that brings us into this place. Lord, reveal yourself. I thank you for all that you do. You are a good and mighty God. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Hey, thanks for listening. I'm Cooper. This is American Christian Division, really, of Heart of the Father Ministries.